saying.
Hallelujah. We knew that Brother Tolliver would preach good. I never get nervous about his preaching. It's mine. I get a little shook up about it. Yeah. But boy, he preached a wonderful message to us. And, you know, in essence, if we apply it to our lives, there's nothing more powerful, is there, than our love. You know, and really, really God started this. Amen. He loved us first. Amen. We didn't know how, couldn't do it, didn't have the ability, wasn't the fault of it. He loved us first. Amen. And because he loved us, we love him back, don't we? Because he imparts in us the ability to do it. Can you think of anything stronger? Amen. Well, I'm going to try to preach to you a little. Anybody want to volunteer to help me? Thank you. Most of this crowd, the rest of you is going to hinder me, I reckon. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to have to get with it here because I got a lot of reading to do. And I want to say thank you for the offering and the place to stay. Always great. Accommodations. People are nice. And, you know, and I don't take that for granted. I appreciate it. And, I got saved. That first night I prayed at home. It wasn't no altar call. Nobody sang, an invitational song. And I just got sick of sin. And I had heard through different means that the Lord was always waiting to take my load and to save me. I didn't really know what it was all about. I got to get into this. Help me, Lord. But I didn't know that night. I didn't know, and I tell this a lot, but I really didn't know that night that if I could stay saved all night. I really didn't understand it all. But I knew I got prayed through. I knew my load was lifted. I felt clean. I was crying, which was unusual. And I just had a love for everybody that I could think of. That was unusual, wasn't it? But I enjoyed it. It was kind of like this, Brother Lloyd. I laid down that night. It got late and I laid down. I still had that feeling just bubbling in me, and then this feeling come over me that I wasn't, when I woke up in the morning, I wasn't going to have it. It's going to be gone. I didn't understand it all, so I just kind of went to crying again, Brother Tommy, and told the Lord, "Well, Lord, it's been good." I did. I just broke up 19 years old, and I said, "Lord, it's been the greatest few hours of my life." And I hate to break it up like this, but I know it probably won't be here when I wake up. And I said, "Lord, if you can, if it's possible, let me wake up to this." And guess what? 41 years later, every morning of my life, woo! How many knows God is faithful? Little shouting there in case you're wondering. Huh? Great God. Glad to be saved, aren't you? I want to start in Matthew's gospel and then read two or three places there and then go to Mark and Luke and a couple places in them and then maybe Galatians, you know, Revelations and Revelations ain't there. Okay, let's forget Revelations. I figure it's going to be from Genesis to Revelation. Huh? Y'all in no hurry, are you? How many's in a hurry? Yeah, that's what I thought. Nobody here. And I want you to go first to Matthew 10. Boy, haven't we been having a good time? Amen. It ain't over. It's just getting started. Praise the Lord. Man, I just keep imagining who in the world's going to get saved before this week's out. And it's, I want you to go to the 10th chapter, I think it is, of Matthew. And then just hold there. Have you got your King James Version Bibles and your songbooks out there? Praise God. I'm not going to sing, I don't think. I do sing sometimes when I run out of stuff. In Matthew 10. I'm going to begin reading with verse 38. And then I'm going to skip over a few and read. I feel like I need to read all of these. And, you know, if you're accustomed to standing, that's fine. If you're not, fine. You know, go to the restroom. I guess you can. I don't know. You still, whatever. It's free country here. You can do whatever you want to do. Huh? But here I'm going to read regardless of what you do. I'm getting ready to read this, right? Come on, Webb, preach. I'm going to try. Now listen to this. He that taketh not his cross. I want to tell you this before I get going. As I studied this and prayed about preaching this to you, I got under conviction more and more and more. Y'all ever do that? I wasn't hardly, didn't feel worthy to crawl out here and try to preach on this. But he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy. And I got to connect this verse 39. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Now to a lost soul, that's a riddle. It's a saying God knows exactly what that means. Amen. I'm going to dwell on this verse. He that taketh not his cross. I want you, if you don't mind standing a little bit, let the blood circulate. I want you to go to the 16th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. Verse 24. Well, then said Jesus unto his disciples, 16:24, are you there? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Verse 25 must is a connection. But whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. I want you to go to Mark, chapter number 8. Are y'all okay with this so far? Verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. You get in the pattern here and follow me. And again, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's, same shall save it. Amen. Let's go to Luke. I know there's a lot of reading. You know, it's a little out of order to read the Bible in church. He said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever would save his life shall lose it, and whosoever loses his life for my sake, shall the same shall save it. Praise God. All right, for a few minutes here before lunch, I want to preach a little on the forgotten cross. The forgotten cross. Would you lift your hand this way and ask the Lord to help me? Praise the Lord.
The trick to this jerk.
Praise the Lord. The kingdom of heaven suffer violence. Violence take it with force. I'm going to preach on a subject not very popular, not very pleasing, is on the cross. And I'm not going to preach on the cross of Christ, because none of these verses mentions the cross of Christ. Amen? Whose cross does it mention? Huh? Well, that's personal, isn't it? You know, we really, when you think of this, and I hope, but really, Jesus said it pretty plain in these scriptures, and I'm going to hurry and not take time probably on all of this. But it is evident in these scriptures that the Lord said, and it does apply even to our day to day, that if we do not take up our cross, it is essential. Amen. Now, some things are optional, but this is essential. Can the church say amen to the essential? Amen. And a lot of times we do major and we do reflect and we do appreciate and we do glory in the cross of Christ. Amen. But I'm not preaching about that. I'm preaching about the forgotten cross today. Now, I want you to think about this for just a minute. How many knows that our culture has forgotten their cross? Say amen. You know, when the Lord got to dealing with me about this message, and as I say, the more I studied it, and the more I loaded my gun and sharpened my sword, the more conviction I felt at the moment. I just came out here hard, just to preach on myself and let y'all in on it. Praise God. But how many knows that Jesus said, and there were several instances that he said this. I read to you several. Amen. But when you think about the cross, I want to tell you this right now. The cross is not a gold necklace with a man on it. Somebody say amen. Isn't that right? A cross. How many knows what a cross? Amen. And we don't like this. Amen. But the Bible, and I've got to make this plain. The Bible is plain to us. Oh, I need to preach to you. The Bible is plain to us, amen, that we cannot, amen. How many knows a cross is not a half-hearted attempt? Oh, woo, come on now. Amen, I said it. The cross is not a half-hearted attempt. Amen. A cross, amen, was an instrument of what? Say it loud. Amen. Death. Amen. I don't want to die. Well, come on now. Amen. Listen, how many knows, and you know this scripture, amen, that I think is so powerful, at the end of all these verses, no matter the circumstance, it said he that would find his life, amen, shall lose it. Woo! I feel like preaching a little on the forgotten cross. Oh, we remember Calvary. Amen. And we come to church on Easter. Amen. But what about our daily, amen, cross? Amen. That we deny ourselves. What's that word in the Greek? Did y'all know I was Greek? I'm really redneck. I'm not Greek at all. You know what that word means? Amen. Deny, it means to say no. You ever been around a kid that's never been told no? You ever been around a church member that's, whoa, 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 whoa. This is going to get tight. I just prophesy, yay, tight it shall get. Optional? I'll get up this morning. I want to do my own thing. You know why you lose your temper? I'm a Christian. If you do that one more time,
gonna be a devil.
Where'd you leave your cross, bud? Huh? That rascal climbed off that cross again. You know, they got so, Brother Shaw, they just hang themselves on that cross with Velcros. So if their wife smarts off at them, they just pull it off, and down off the cross they come to take care of a little business. You ain't getting this, are you? The cross is an instrument of what? Death. You know, there's three instances. You know, deny yourself. You know what really got me to thinking about this, Brother Lloyd? What got me to thinking about this, and I really felt, I dreaded this. I wanted to preach sugar cookie stuff, you know? My plan was, I was going to have 7 services. You'd have rotten teeth the time I got through with you. I'm going to feed you so many sugar cookies, but these first 2 cookies are a little bitter, aren't they? Huh? I thought about that scripture in 2 Timothy 3, isn't it? In the last days, well, I feel like preaching. In the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be little illustration there. Men shall be lovers of their own self. I'm going to tell you, you can't have church if you forget the cross. Oh, we got one. There it is. Oh. There it is. My sweet Savior. Aren't you forgetting something? Boy, He's paid it all. Jesus paid it. Can we sing a little of that? I don't think it's a song. Jesus paid it. You say, well, that's all there is to it, isn't it? Is it? Huh? Is it? Is it? Jesus said, take up your cross. You mean I've got a cross? Oh, Lord, when you talk about cross, that's ugly stuff. That's bloody business. That's hurting. Hey, man, that severs. That separates. Brother, that puts skin in the game. Woo, you ain't helping this preacher. Lord Jesus, it's me and you on Lonely Island. Hallelujah. Deny yourself. I tell you what, most of the church world, they just live to suit themselves. If the preacher crosses them a little, they pout. Good old lip comes out. They won't pay their tithe. They tiptoe around the edge of the hellfire because they got mad. The Bible said they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Always itching, wanting something new, something different. Hey, man, we forgot something in this religiosity. Amen. We have forgot a major factor. Are you listening to me? You ain't getting this at all. Amen. We forgot to die. Oh, you ain't getting this, are you? Oh, you're going to get it before it's over. And I'll tell you, I'm going to eat my lunch in my room. Praise God. But I want to tell you a little something. Amen. Listen, the first instance of this, amen, was when a young man came to Jesus, amen, that was almost morally, amen, perfect in a sense. Amen. Come on now. Amen. Oh yeah. He probably went to the synagogue, reckon? Looked pretty good. He had it going, man. He was rich, young, and a ruler. Man, what else could he want? Amen. Come on now. And he ran to the Lord. Anybody know that? He ran to the Lord, amen, in such a way, and he fell down at his feet, and he had this thought on his mind, and he said, Lord, amen, what great thing must I do to inherit eternal life? Amen. Come on now. And the Lord said, keep the commandments high, Lord.
then take all thy half. Amen. Oh, you know what the Lord's doing? He's dragging a cross out in his path. Are you listening to me? We want a religion that's convenient and comfy. Are you listening to me? But you're not going to have eternal life like that. You've got to lose your life. You've got to crucify your life. Amen. You've got to take up your cross. Amen.
All right. This boy got sorrowful. Are you listening to me? I said, this boy. And you know, the Bible said the Lord loved him. Are you with me? Are you nodding your head with me? Huh? I can imagine old Peter standing over there. He reminds me of myself, son. I couldn't catch fish either. Peter says, Lord, you know, he was probably looking at this dude and he thought he may have went to school with him. He said, hey, that guy never got in trouble. I was in trouble all the time, Lord. And this guy never got in trouble. Made 100 on every test. And he can't go to heaven? What do you mean? Well, who then? That rich young ruler had forgotten. Have you? Oh, yeah, but I'm holiness. But have you forgotten the cross? Am I preaching? Are you getting this? This ain't no good, is it? Amen. You just stay with me just a little bit. Amen. I need to preach to you if I can. Amen. But the Lord said, amen, unless, amen, he told this boy, he said, you've got to sell out. Amen. Listen, and amen, and take up your cross. Amen. And follow me. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen. Are you trying to preach without your cross? Are you trying to pastor a church without your cross? Are you trying to have a happy home without the cross? It ain't going to happen. Somebody say amen. You trying to go to heaven? Amen. Jesus said, you know, some people, I picked up a book the other day. Or somebody loaned it to me. I don't know the man. Don't know if he's doing any good. Amen or not. And this is not where this sermon came. I just noticed the title. And it said, amen, a fan or a follower. Anybody ever see that book? Just the title of it. Anybody? Amen. And it talks about how people were fans of the Lord. They liked what he stood for. Woo! They appreciated what he did, but they weren't a follower. Amen. And you know why people are fans without being followers? Amen. You're not helping me. Amen. But be a follower, it'll cost you. Amen. To be a fan won't cost anything. But to be a follower of the Lord as a disciple, you're gonna have to take up your cross. Which means surrender. Denial of self. Men shall be lovers of their own self. You know what's wrong with America? They love self. When that infiltrates into your home or your church, amen, and self reigns. Now, I don't know if self and the flesh are the very same thing. They're probably not, are they, Brother Shad? But now, they're double first cousins. Both were corrupted in the fall in the garden. And our flesh is enmity with the spirit. Amen. And when self dominates, amen, or flesh dominates old self, amen, it's going to drag you down. Somebody say amen. Well, what is the answer to it? Amen. It's called, amen, an instrument of death. Amen. An execution. Are you listening to me? You're not getting this preaching. I knew you wouldn't like it, but I'm going to tell you this right now. We are not going to follow the Lord until we deny ourselves and take up our cross. Daily. I said daily. That's what the Bible said. Daily taking. What did Paul say? Am I about done? It's awful to be done and have 20 minutes left to go. What did Paul say? He said this, Brother Dinner. Putting on Christ. Somebody quote that with me. Making no provision for the flesh. What else did it say? That we might not fulfill the lust thereof. Brother, am I scaring y'all? I didn't do this, so I got the Holy Ghost. I was just blaming on the Holy Ghost. Well, I'm going to tell you, we wear ourselves out preaching against fleshly acts. Amen. In selfish endeavors. It wears you out, beating your head. I tell you, let me tell you a little secret. Y'all won't tell, will you? I was up in my church preaching, praying, working on a sermon on the wickedest thing in the world. How many's heard me tell? Anybody? And I had a few lists of things. I ain't gonna need to mention them all because I was gonna preach against perversion, you know, in movies. Say amen over there. And I had this stuff. I had it all planned out. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me like he does, inspires preachers. I don't mean to bore you. And he said, you know what the wickedest thing in the world is? And I thought, Lord, I got a list here of 10 things. And he said, it's the heart of man. It's desperately wicked. Who can know it? And so I wanted to add that to my list. And the Lord said, don't add it to your list. It is the list. You ain't getting this, are you? You say, what are you talking about? Amen. I'm talking about, amen, that old heart that's not sanctified. Are you listening to me? That old heart is not regenerated. Amen. There's evil in there. Are you listening to me? Amen. Whoa. We think we've arrived and we didn't even crump the engine up yet. Are you listening to me? Woo! I want to preach to you. You say, we need to grow. We need a better church. We need a more holy church. We need a more spiritual church. Amen. Can I tell you, we're forgetting one cross, amen, that would help us, amen, kill out the flesh and the self nature in us and would sanctify our lives, amen. Come on, amen. If we lose our life, amen, we shall find it. Do you understand that? You gotta die. I said, you gotta die. You die out to sin, you die out to the flesh, you die out to the world. You can't participate. Cause you're dead on the cross. Jesus taught this. Sure, you couldn't die in his place. You couldn't die for your own salvation or the salvation of the world. But you, amen, can bear that invisible cross. The cross that tells this whole world, as Paul said, amen, I let no man, what was the word he used? Trouble me. I let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. I don't necessarily mean he was talking about the marks. Amen. But he was talking about identifying with the life and death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You're not listening to me, are you? Amen. What will this do for us when we take up our cross? Help me, Holy Ghost. When we take up our cross, amen, we finally find, amen, our true, real, eternal life. Am I doing all right? You give me 15 more minutes? Another instance of this scripture was when he said this right after Peter had come up to him. Now get this. He told Peter and the disciples, I must go up to Jerusalem and I'm going to get in trouble with the big boys, the hierarchy, and they're going to crucify me, but I'm going to raise the third. And Peter, can you believe? I mean, this is Jesus. Brother Thomas, can you believe the arrogance of this guy? Can you? I mean, he'd seen him do miracles and knew he had just confessed, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." "Not so, Lord. You ain't going. I don't care. No. Nobody gonna hurt you, Lord. You ain't going up there. No, you're right here. Hey, they'll have to face me if they get you, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Get thee behind me, Satan."
Oh, dear, what he called me. "I'll never go back to that church. I'm going down to the Cruzomatics where they live, blah, 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 blah."
I'm warning you. What about this irreverent spirit that we, when the preacher just becomes on Lloyd, when you just about rather hear a gospel group swinging and swaying than you would go to camping? You say, "Where is this coming? I'm going to pay. You ain't getting this off. Listen to me. All right. You all hold right there. I'm going to pray for myself. Lord, help me." Here's what he said to Peter. This is Peter, the man that he just said, "Upon this rock, the faith of this man, I'll build my church." And then he said this, "For thou savorest the things of man and not the things of God." How did that happen right in church? You hear me? How did that happen right in church? Well, the key is in the next verse. He said, "Unless you deny yourself and take up your cross." Peter, you need to take up your cross. Not only am I going to go on a cross, your cross buddy's waiting on you too. Oh, somebody say amen. You say, "Does that mean we're going to die martyrs?" Amen. Probably not, but you need to be ready to. Amen. Somebody say amen. I'll tell you what the cross will do. It'll help you savor us, the things of God. Amen. Are you listening to me? And not the man. That's that forgotten cross. I'm almost done. Third thing was in the crowd in general. And he says to them, the crowd came to him. They were following him and loving him. And he said, "Unless you hate your mother and father," what? "And your brothers and sisters," unless you hate that, unless you put that in a priority to where, amen, compared to your love for God is a hatred almost. Are you listening? You're not getting this. Amen. Well, I think religion ought to be practical. I'm going to tell you the real deal. If you don't pick up your cross, you're going to be lost. It's not an option, pal. Are you listening to me? I know we're in a social worldwide media deal. I know that. But I also know this. As you involve in that, and as we open our doors to that, amen, don't you ever doubt that there's a message coming in on those airwaves. There is a doctrine, amen, that our culture is promoting. You're not helping this preacher, amen, and I'll tell you what the doctrine is not. It is not, take up thy cross and follow me. That doctrine is self-esteem and personal, amen, profit. You ain't getting this. I'll tell you, I preached a little yesterday about division, amen, and unity. And you know what causes division? We have not crucified ourselves on the cross and followed the Lord. We're fans of the Lord and preach deep messages about the Lord. But you need to take up your cross, amen, and identify with your crucified Savior. You know what it'll do for you? And you get up every morning and pick up your cross, it'll be real hard for you to look down your nose at someone else while you're carrying that cross.
Am I right? There was one coming at the crucifixion, a little out of context. I feel like I'm relating this to you. Christ was carrying his cross up the hill, his cross. And he fell beneath the weight. Isn't that something? You say, well, that was something God wasn't counting on. Oh, come on. There was one coming out of the country passing by. His name was what? What? A serene. Passerby. No dog. And they compelled him. You know what I'd like this morning as I close this service out? You know what I'd love? I preach a message like this, and Lord, it smote me. It smote me in my own personal life. I cried over this. Amen. How many times have I went to a camp meeting and leave my cross at home? Are you listening to me? And I'm not talking about just troubles you have. Everybody has a cross to bear. That's not the one I'm talking about. I'm not talking about suffering, sickness, or disease, or misfortune. I'm talking about that, amen, purposeful denial of yourself, your ambitions, your desires, amen. Make no provision for the flesh, amen, and help those that are weak, not pleasing yourself. I want to ask the holiness preachers and the holiness members and the saints of God, amen, is that the way we're living our lives, amen, to serve those who are weak and down with no pleasing of ourselves? They compelled one Simon to carry the cross. I don't know what kind of burden it really was. I can't begin to estimate. I know that Christ had went to a night of torture, and he was weakened. But I know he was quite a man. He was a man's man. Amen. And it brought him to his knees. He just couldn't carry it any further. And they compelled this man to come, and he bore it up on his own back. Amen. Listen. And it says he was, amen, the father of Alexander and Rufus, which shows up again over in Paul's writing. Amen. I want to tell you something. You think just taking your children to church, amen, and letting them listen to the Sunday school teacher is what changes their lives? That's not died by itself. If you don't never take up that cross, they're going to think you're a phony. They're not going to think it's really serious. Take it or leave it. We need to get out of that self-centered religious mode, amen, and take up our cross, amen, and deny ourselves and follow him. The end of this, Brother Shaddy, after he talks about denying the cross to the group, he asked them about two different, I believe, situations. He said, which of you setting out to build a tower don't sit down first and count the cost as if you're capable of finishing it, or else you'll be ashamed? And then he said, how many go to war that don't first sit down and count the soldiers, see if you're going to be able to win the battle or make peace with them? Amen. And then he likens this, amen, to just taking up the cross. And I'm going to tell you something, and I want you to hear me this morning, afternoon. If you don't give all, you're going to fall short. Fence riding and hit a night and miss a night, always looking out the door, never fully supporting your pastor, never really responding to the altar calls, you're just a fan of the Lord. You need to be a follower of the Lord. And it'll cost you. It'll be that cross that you forgot. Somebody lift your hands. Ask the Lord to touch us in this altar. Yidibihikidah.
I didn't finish my story. While I was in my prayer room and the Lord was editing my message on the wickedest thing in the world, He inspired me, Brother Dennis, and asked me, amen, as I began to pray for my church, He says, do you know the problem of folks in your church that have heard you preach over and over and they don't respond to the holiness message? That's what I was praying. Why, Lord, help them respond. I felt down. I can't move them. I can't affect them. And the Lord said, about some of the folks in my church, they're not converted. You think that's serious? You ought to have seen the look on my church's face when I told them. It's a lot more serious than you're looking. You're not converted. You forgot your cross. You remember this cross, but you forgot your cross. Can I say amen? This wiring you out? Feel the Holy Ghost right here. In this world where men become lovers of their own self, how many knows if we're not really careful, we'll become like the world? Self-centered, narcissist. If we're not running it, it ain't moving. You need to find your place. Who are you talking to, Brother Randy? Let me think. You? Let's stand. I don't know how you are, but this message spoke to me. I said, this message spoke. We're living in a self-centered world. It should not be so with God's people. We know the doctrines. We remember them. We know that the scriptures are holy, that pertain to outward holiness. We've got those memorized. I love them. I'm not discrediting them. We've got the scriptures and the faith on faith and the blood and healing and the doctrines of the church. But that rich young ruler lacked one thing, and that was his cross. We don't want to meet God without our cross. You say amen? Say it real loud if you believe it. All right. We're going to come and pray. Now listen, I'm serious about it. Sometimes people think because I laugh and you don't have no sense of humor or whatever you call it. I've been that way all my life. I mean, can't help it. But I want you to know right now, I am dead serious about preaching. Did you hear me? And I believe what I preach today with all my heart. It's right there in the book. I read it to you in 10 different places. 3 different circumstances. The key to this is picking up your self-sacrifice and your surrender. Amen. Do it daily. What was it Paul said? Amen. About crucifying himself to the world and crucifying the, mortifying the deeds of the flesh. Mortifying, kill, rigor mortis. Mortifying the deeds of the flesh. How many knows that's New Testament doctrine? Now, you say, Brother Randy, and I don't really think I need to explain this to you, but you might say, how do I take up my cross? I know, you may say it, but most everybody here knows. Amen. You start at an altar. Huh? You apply this book by the Spirit. We mortify the deeds of the flesh. By the working of the Spirit. How many knows we're sanctified when we get regenerated? The blood sanctified. Can you say amen? How many knows we continue? Amen. And don't, I'm not crossing anything. Amen. But how many knows that after, or whatever you want to call it, how many knows explained to me what had happened to me. Amen. We can't wait, amen, until we read it all. But how many knows that when we get saved and washed from our sins and made white as snow, amen, there's a life to live. Got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, amen. And what I thought, amen, Brother Tommy, was a sanctified life. It's got more intense and more pure and more light. Amen. Come on now. Amen. The Lord wants you to take up your cross. And I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you what our problem is not. It's too much sanctification. I'll tell you what our problem is. We've got a host of church people that have forgotten where they're from. Each time we had a revival. Remember them old revivals where we used to have bonfires? When we weren't roasting weenies. We were burning Led Zeppelin. Y'all don't remember him. Y'all don't even know what a RPM 33, it's brown, black vinyl thing, had little ridges on it. You put it in the ground, round, round. The devil spoke out of it. How many remember them? Somebody does you wrong. What's your first impulse? All right. Put your angel wings away. I'm not fooled by that. What's your first impulse when somebody does you wrong? What is it?
What? Say it loud.
No, just kidding, Brother Tommy. That's exactly right. Get even. Get back. Revenge. Right? What happens if you're on the cross? What happens? Huh? What did Jesus say on the cross? I quote this verse at weddings sometimes. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Just kidding. No, not really. This sermon was a little hard to preach. I'm gonna tell you something harder. So lit it. But if you cast it all in, and you've got skin in the game, and you've surrendered it all, and that's not the end of it. What did Jesus say after 3 days? If we die with him, we shall also what? How many surrendered it all? How many does it daily? How many's got a situation in your life that after this morning you feel like maybe the cross is the remedy to it? Your cross. His cross, your cross. And you say, amen? Come, let's remember the forgotten cross this morning. In the name of Jesus.